Liz Selig is with us. She is the executive director of No Autism and KNOW Autism. She does great work. She's one of the nominees for Advocate of the Year for her work with autism. Liz, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. For those of you of us, or for those that are listening that don't know about No Autism, Liz, give us a sort of the quick speech, the brief speech on what you guys do.
So our organization is about 10 years old, and we primarily provide direct financial assistance to families with a child on the autism spectrum to help cover the costs of things such as, you know, speech therapy, ABA therapy, occupational therapy, sometimes specialized private schools specifically for autism, diagnostic assistance to help make sure that individuals are indeed or do indeed have a diagnosis when appropriate, as well as providing funding for things such as adaptive swim lessons, special needs camps, equine therapy, etc. And then we also have community partnerships established with some arts organizations as well as some other nonprofits to provide resources to families as well as, you know, the public on what autism is and kind of how to get through the autism journey with someone who's on the spectrum.
And when you look at autism, you know, sort of in general, it seems like it's, you know, people are learning more and more about autism. You know, what percentage of kids are somewhere on the spectrum, would you say, Liz?
Well, the CDC's most recent data indicates that it's 1 in 36 children is autistic.
Wow.
You know, and boys are 4 times more likely than girls to be on the spectrum. I think, you know, part of the numbers increasing is because A, there's more awareness and you know, education, so people kind of know in the sense what to some of the signs to look for. And then I think also there's, you know, a higher prevalence of autism as well. So it's kind of a combination of factors contributing.
Yeah, I like what you said, and I would like you to speak more on those community partnerships, thinking of this past session, hearing organizations come and plea for more funding or just fully funded programs for students with disabilities, and hearing those funding gaps was jarring. And so how do those community partnerships trickle into schools and supporting these students in education?
Well, we have a huge need. You know, Texas, in my opinion, has traditionally not done the best job of serving the special needs community.
What?
And I think that's for, you know, I don't think anyone intentionally sets out and says, how can we, you know, how can we screw over kids? I think people want to help, but I think it's a matter of, you know, it's a matter of financial resources. It's a matter of teachers. It's a matter of education, competing priorities, politics, you know, et cetera. I think, you know, which is unfortunate because ultimately what it does is it causes problems and negatively impacts, you know, the child or the respective individual. In terms of our partnership, so we have a partnership, for example, with Theater Under the Stars, and for the River program. And that has a lot of individuals who are on the spectrum and have some other similar disabilities, and helps them, you know, kind of advance their and learn different parts of, I'll say, becoming actors and dancing, kind of the whole theatrical creative process. We've worked with Houston Ballet in the past on their adaptive dance programs. We currently have a partnership with an organization called the Family to Family Network, which I think is one of the greatest nonprofits that's out there for individuals who have disabilities. And they provide a lot of resources and guidance and services to families who are kind of trying to navigate this journey with, you know, their eyes open, but yet their eyes closed. They don't know, you know, what all to ask for. And I think that, you know, that also kind of plays into the whole special education situation is, you know, parents are doing the best they can And a lot of times they don't know that their child is entitled to, you know, X, Y, Z. And so they assume that what they're getting is all that their child is qualifies for, when in reality, I think that's not always the case.
Liz, I want to get back to this point that you made about Texas, really. And, you know, it's no secret to anyone that when it comes to children and families, Texas isn't doing the job that it needs to do in general. But talk a little bit about, if we were a state that did everything possible for children with autism, what would we look like? And how would things be different for kids, especially for those kids that have autism?
I think, you know, that's a hard question to answer, but I can give you some comparisons. So I have a brother who lives in Maryland, and they live right outside of D.C., and Maryland is a Democratic state, and I hate to say that it typically comes down to Republicans versus, you know, Democrats, but, you know, not always, but unfortunately, in this instance, you know, they have a lot more funding. So when my nephew was 2.5, you know, my sister-in-law found it much easier. Like, there's a whole pathway and a whole, like, through the school system, you contact them and they start the whole early childhood intervention. They're more proactive. They're not as, it's not like you're having to, I mean, you have to request the services, but if you don't know what to request, they provide you more resources. And I feel like that his intervention, you know, for the whole, you know, 9 months that I've seen, you know, he's receiving a lot of services at no charge because, you know, they pay for it through taxes. You know, granted, their property taxes are you know, probably about the same as ours, but they do pay state income tax. They have additional revenue to help offset some of those supports. You know, just like anywhere in any state, you're going to have some schools that have good special education programs and some that don't have as many. But, you know, Massachusetts is another one. They do a phenomenal job. They do a phenomenal job of really, I think, overall providing support to individuals with disabilities, and whether that's through childhood or also through adulthood. They pay a ton more for taxes, but, you know, as I've been on this journey with my son, who's now 11, I would personally rather pay higher taxes to make sure that, you know, people like my child and also other individuals on the spectrum receive the services that, you know, they desperately need. Yeah. And with, you know, the wealth gap widening, you know, it becomes an even bigger, you know, disparity about what people can afford. And it's a really big challenge.
Yeah. It's interesting, right? I mean, what we're asking, right, is for the state to make life easier for parents and for these many kids that have autism. And there's so many possibilities, and it's not like we have to reinvent the wheel. We see how other places are doing a fine job with these kids and with these families. And so, Liz, thank you very much for the work that you guys are doing with No Autism, and for so many people around the state that are working diligently on this issue, right, to make sure that we bring attention to something that some people don't seem to be wanting to pay attention to. Liz Selig is with No Autism here in Houston. And thank you, Liz, for everything you do. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks, Liz.